The Bible is the only book that can take down the curtain that separates time for eternity and reveal to us what's in the great eternity, which is coming quickly to overtake us all. I want to read, first of all, a scripture from the lips of the Savior. Luke's Gospel at the chapter 16 and at the verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to you, neither can they pass from us to you that would come from them. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I am calling this message, eternity's unalterable contrast. There is a great contrast here. There's a man in hell, and there's another man in heaven. We have a terrific contrast. Let's just look at these two men. One is interested and described as a rich man. There was a certain rich man. This is a real biography. This is a real person, and he's stamped with the label of certainty. As far as the world was concerned, this man was rich. He was no pauper. He had no worries about his bank book and what he possessed. This man, Christ tells us, he was rich. And Christ himself would be the only person in the world who would know, otherwise than his bankers, how rich he was. But Christ says he was rich. But notice Christ said something more about him. He said he was clothed. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed. And he goes on to tell us the wonder of his clothing and the wonder of his position. And it tells us here that this man was clothed in purple and fine linen. Purple was the cloth of the prince. And not only that, but this man was clothed. All the accessories to the prince's character and garments were upon him. So here is a man who has rich. He doesn't feel he has any need of anything. He feels that all his needs are controlled by his bank book and his properties and his silver and gold. But something more, he not only was clothed, but it tells me further that this man was a man who fared sumptuously every day. He lived at the height of receiving anything or everything that he wanted. And as far as food was concerned, he fared sumptuously every day. Not on special days, but on every day. Here we have a quick presentation of a man who walks on to the scriptures, text from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Christ knows everything. This is omniscience. And this omniscience pulls down the dividing line between time and eternity. And he presents us with this special man. A certain man. Christ didn't make up the story. This is an unfurling of history. And there was this man who takes a step into history, and Christ reveals how he stands as the lamps of time shine upon him and his living. A certain man. There's certainty about this. But over against the certainty of this rich man, and my, he was rich, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. One man had everything he wanted, and everything he wanted to enjoy, and everything he wanted to have, he had them all. This man here, he is a man not filled like the other man with the products of the world. But he is a man who has to be carried. He's crippled. He is full of silver. One man was full of silver. The other man was full of souls. What a contrast. But look again, and you'll find that he was a hungry man. He desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Listen. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. This man has gone completely to the dogs. And we can turn that to spiritual dogs who tore at his heart and his soul. And his body and his mind. And then there were dogs came and licked him as he sat there. This is a very interesting man. For this man was a poor man. The other man was a rich man. This man is described just as the other man, Matt, was described. The characters and characteristics of a living are put together and we see a tremendous difference. The nearest friend they had was a dog, and the dog licked his sore. What a contrast between that wise man that rich man, brother, and the poor man. And you'll notice that he didn't eat well, but he had given to him the crumb, and that fell from the rich man's table. The rich man did not cut up a loaf and give it to him, no. But when the rich man filled his own mouth continually with the good thing, he spat out, and this man was filled with the spitting out of the rich man. So here we have the rich man and all his possessions, and all his glory, and all his strength, and all the worship that is given to him. We have this other man who has only crumbs, and he doesn't sit at the rich man's table, but he gets the crust that falls from that table. So this story, this revelation, you will notice it introduces us first to the rich man. And then it brings in, secondly, the poor man. The man that was a beggar. And every day they could be seen. One was seen at the table with his riches. And the other was seated on the ground with his dough. What a contrast this is. But both men were coming to a day when there was going to be no difference between them as far as life to live was concerned. And what do we find? The rich man steps back because he's not to the folk in the time of death. And the poor man, he comes forward. So we change the order. And Christ says, not that the first rich man died, no, he's put to second place. But the beggar died. And he doesn't say that the beggar was buried, but he said he was carried. He was carried by some people, and he was carried by the angel. What? This rotten old beggar. This man with his ailment and with his darkness. But a hand comes from heaven, seizes him away from it all. And you know what it says here? It came to pass that the beggar died. The order has changed. You'd have thought that we would have gone on to be told, first of all, what happened to the rich man? Oh no. The rich man has no standing in eternity. But this man who had been licked by the dogs has a standing in eternity. And we read about him, he died, and he was carried. He couldn't move. He lay for a long time upon the ground, but he was carried, and he was carried by angels, by the angels, he was carried. He had angelic funeral undertakers. What a change. What a contrast. What a difference. And it says here that the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. In Abraham's bosom, of course, to the Jewish people, was the description of heaven, because Abraham entered into heaven. And he was there, ordered by God to greet those who should come. This man who never was carried in honor was now carried with the greatest of honor. And it says concerning him, he says he was carried by an angel. Oh no. He had a contingency of angels flocked. The man that was so rudely looked at by those that passed and was ignored by the man that could have fed him and got him medical help. No, but the angels carried him. And it says nothing about his funeral. It says he died. And then it tells us that the rich man also died, but he was buried. Oh, he had a fine pupil and a fine gathering. But it was a burial for hell, fire, and damnation. What a contrast. And something happened. We're allowed to look across eternity's boundary. And we are allowed to find out where this man was taken. He died and was buried. But he was not only buried, but he was burned. Listen, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. The torments of eternity had seized his soul. No rich means now. No depending on his checkbook now. No turning to the life that's forever past and cannot be retraced. No, this man is impermanent. And he is only a long look as far as heaven is concerned. He's not near heaven. He's a long way off, and he's in torments. And away afar off, he sees Abraham. He gets a vision of Abraham. But he gets a bit particular, unique vision of Abraham. He sees that Abraham's embrace has been given to who? To Lazarus, the man that was treated with scorn and hatred and condemnation. Where is Lazarus? He's on the bosom. He's on the bosom of Abraham. He was on the bosom. It is interesting, isn't it, that we get the name of Lazarus in verse 20. There we read in verse 20 about Lazarus that was known all over the city, Lazarus. But Lazarus was known to God and known to Father Abraham, who knew what had happened. But a voice comes from the depths of hell and it cries. It's the voice, word of the rich man. It cries, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. But Father Abraham can't have mercy on anyone. It is only God Almighty that shows mercy. But this man, tied up in his Judaism, was making Abraham his God. And as he was saying, give me mercy, Abraham. There's no mercy in the pockets of Abraham or anyone. Abraham needed mercy himself. And they got him. But he says, have mercy on me. And then he says something startling. Of course, it comes from a man who is damned. And he says, send Lazarus. What? Send him back to where he was. Yes. Send them not only to where he was, but send them to hell, where I am. Don't you see the darkness of Lazarus? His money brought him no eyesight. His heirship brought him no eyesight. He's a poor, poor man. And you know what he has? He has a burning tongue. His tongue is on fire. It's says that, cool my tongue. And he's tormented in the flames of hell. Look at the two men. One of them in the bosom of the blessed Lord Jesus, and in the company of the Father of the faithful. In heaven with the angels who carried him there. To be there. To be there. Oh, what must I be to be there? But this man has something else to say. He says, I am tormented in this flame. A tormented soul, damned for all eternity. But, Abraham said, son, he did not deny him his political relationship to Abraham. This man was a son of Abraham. But you're not saved because you're the son of Abraham, or the son of Protestantism, or the son of any other religious race. Oh no. He says, remember that in thy lifetime, Abraham said, you received good things, but you didn't share them. No, no. You threw the crumbs to the poor man called Lazarus. The good things Lazarus never received. But now you are going to receive none of the good things. Lazarus got evil things. Now there's a change. You're going to be tormented. Tormented. Tormented is your lot forever. But he is comforted. His comfort has already started. But your bondage and damnation has also already started. And then something else that makes the damnation of the rich man a terrible thing. For you know what it says? That Abraham reminded this man of something. He said, beside all this. That's a powerful statement. All this. All the damage to you in time, in sin, all the damage to you in death, in damnation, all the damage in an eternity of hell fire, he says, all that for you is over, and you're coming now to torment. Beside all this, you're going to be tormented forever. Sin is a torment. I was reading today the words of a great man who was a Presbyterian minister in Scotland, one of the Bonners, the mighty preacher of the Word of God, So was his father. So was his two brothers. Four mighty shining lights in Scotland in their day. He says, light has come into the world, but men have loved the darkness, and that heavenly ray has found no home, nor resting place. It has passed on from land to land, but stayed not long in any. And its rushing course has been a torch race of the ages, not yet done. It was sought, it has sought children everywhere, and yet men have refused the sonship. As of all, that such a fatherhood could offer were but mockery of a nature such as theirs. I've known the night when I taste the day. I've sat in silence with the throbbing, sobbing gust, my own companion. And the shaken leaf, my gentle comforter, and the tired ripple, the soft sound calling in the moist grey sand. This is the type of a weary life, with troubled eye, yet heart of hope, watching in patient joy, the long, low flicker of the evening star across the heaving wave. I've seen it setting, and the sad night came down, but I have been watching for its coming. That poor man, the beggar, he watched for its coming. And thank God it came. He passed from death unto life. First of all, he died as a beggar. But he was attended on by angels. Why? Because he had the blood mark of Jesus on his brow. That's why. The rich man also died, but he saw no angels. He was taken straight from his deathbed to hell and the darkness of the damned. He saw himself afar off. He looked to Abraham, but Abraham couldn't save him. He came to hell, and what a hell it was that he came to. The hell of hell. Poor man. The beggar was rich. He was poor. Sinning man, poor man, but glorified man, was a man that sat many years at his very opening door that didn't open. The rich man also died and was buried and in hell. He lifted up his eyes. And he needed to lift them up because he found that he was in a far off place, so far away, separated in the darkness, afar off. No salvation for this man, but there was eternal damnation for the sinner. He was afar off because he was in hell. He was afar off because he sought not the way to heaven. He was afar off for he never drank of the water of life. The answer is that he was afar off for he had disobeyed God, rejected his son, and turned down the road to hell. Eternity. Eternity. Where will I be in eternity? That is the question you, my dear hearer, need to answer. Thank God you're still in time. Be in time while the voice of Jesus calls you. Be in time. If it's sin you longer wait, you'll find no open gate. Your cry will be too late. Be in time. Call. Cry. These simple words, Lord, save me, I perish. And the Lord will save you for time and eternity. There is life for a look at the crucified Lord. There is life at this moment for you. Then look, sinner, look. Unto him and be saved. Unto him who has nailed to the tree. My final word is, look and live forever in the glories of the eternal heavens. Amen and amen.